We're going to, we have pictures from Family Photo 2 weeks ago. If you didn't get yours yet, we'll give them to you after this Bible hour here, and we'll then before the main service, we'll get those to you. We're trying to get most of them out. We have a lot of things we're doing today, and so we're going to just go ahead and jump into the lesson. I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6. Again, teenagers are in the back there. And us young people are in here. Isaiah 6. And I'm going to start there, and then I'll be reading some of the verses in other places. You can just listen along or turn along as you choose. Today, as we're talking about our third lesson on ministry, we're talking about availability for ministry, being available for God. In Isaiah chapter 6, availability for ministry. Isaiah 6. In verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled a temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, and with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar, and he laid his hand on my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. And I heard a voice, the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. All right, let's talk about being available for ministry. Lord, thank you for the chance to talk and about your word. Thank you for a people who are maturing and growing and want to do more for you. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be prepared and to know what you have for us. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us. I pray you'd help us be ready to do your work at any point. And I pray we'd all be ministers of the gospel, helping people and making a difference. Help us to understand how important this truth is, Lord. It's something that I don't think many people are ready for mentally and in their lives, and they miss out on many great things because of it. So help us to learn this and be ready. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, Isaiah is taken up to heaven, and he doesn't think that he's really worthy for all these great things, and he sees God in his throne and says, Oh, I'm unclean, I'm a man of unclean lips, I'm unworthy to be here. And everybody is, and we're unworthy to be in heaven, and that's why Jesus died for us, and that's why he did that. But Isaiah hears a question, and from the throne of God, and the question comes, who will go for us? And who's gonna go and take the word? And so there's Isaiah, and he hears his voice. Well, he looks around, and there's angels, and there's God, and he's the only human. And the Lord says, of course, being a Trinity, being a three-part God, says, who will go for us? And whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And notice both the singular and the plural, because one God with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he says, Here am I, send me. And he volunteered. The two greatest abilities in life are availability and dependability. Both are vital. And being available for God. We find out that God needed someone to go. And Isaiah said, I'll go. God didn't look and say, Isaiah, I want you to be the one to go. Now, he had brought Isaiah to heaven in that situation. That's important to note there. Isaiah was brought into heaven to receive a calling of what he was supposed to do. And then Isaiah said, Here am I, send me. Because Isaiah said, I must be the one, and here I am, and so I'm going to go. And that's the thing, is I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but the Lord will put you in a situation where you're the one to do it. You might be like Isaiah and say, Oh, no. Who am I? I'm unworthy. I can't do it. But God says, You're the one. I need you to be available to do this job and to do that. It's not uncommon for the people God will use to think that they should not be used. Jeremiah, if you turn to chapter 1, Jeremiah thought he should not be used also. Jeremiah chapter 1. And it says, verse 5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." God said, don't say I'm a child. "For thou shalt go and speak and to all that I send thee, and speak whatsoever I shall command thee. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth." It's interesting, both in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, God touched them so they were able to do the job God gave them. There's a strange balance, and it's a difficulty for anybody God's going to use. Is the Lord brings us to a point where we realize that we're unworthy. That humility is necessary. It's necessary to become a Christian, to be saved. You've got to realize you don't deserve it, that you're just you're a sinner. And that it's the grace of God that's amazing that saves a wretch like me. At the same time, you've got to have the confidence in God that God can use someone like you. And if you get out of balance in either one of those things, you usually don't get used, because one, you get this self-abasing person who just kicks yourself all the time and says, God can't use me, and God doesn't use you because you don't believe God can use you. The other side, you get proud and haughty and say, you know, I can do this. I'm so gifted. I'm so talented. I'm better. I'm good. I'm this. And then you forget to depend upon God, and you lose your humility. And it's a very careful balance with humans. They usually go one way or the other. I prefer to avoid all that problem. What I found biblically, the best thing to do is you do not focus on yourself. You focus on the need. And you just say, somebody's got to do this. I'll be the person. If I ever see... I've seen in all the crazy situations I've been in life all around the world, I've seen so many dangerous things and bad things and crazy things and things that, especially delivering in Gary, Indiana at night and 7 years in the south side of Chicago, and I saw so many crazy things. And I found out that, you know what, most people are going to stand around and watch bad situations. Sometimes it's an emergency, sometimes it's a car wreck, sometimes there's a guy beating a woman. And I found that, you know, when you see an emergency, if you see a house on fire and someone needs rescuing, you don't stand there and say, you know, I don't know if I'm worthy of this. I don't know if I should do this. I am so, you know what? I ran upstairs one time and fell right on my face. If I ran up the stairs, listen, quit thinking about yourself and go do what needs done. Okay? And if God puts you in that situation, God said, I ordained you, Jeremiah prophet. God said to Isaiah, hey, I brought you into heaven. You're the only one here. I brought you here because you're the one I want to use to do this job. And so they were, but what both of them were was available. He said, here am I, send me. I'll go. If you have a great thing to do, I would be grateful to do that. Another example of this is Samuel. Samuel was a child, and he didn't know the Lord yet. And he hears the voice of God saying, Samuel, Samuel. And Eli says, I think God's calling you. And he goes, and he's just a child. And God called him, and he was supposed to bring a message to the priest, who is the spiritual leader of a nation. But God chose him to do it. And if you're going to wait till you find the ideal situation where you're ideally suited and ideally talented and you're just desperately needed, those are few and far between. I'm not up here today because I'm the guy to do it. I'm up here today because God called me. And I was available. I can tell you, there are people in here that could preach better than me. Okay? You don't wait for this thing that you're perfect at. It's very rarely now God will use you in your talents and stuff like that, but the Lord has jobs where he will make you able to do them if you're available. Number one, just a couple points here, a couple thoughts here. Number one, be available. Isaiah 6:8, here am I, send me. This means two things. It means, number one, willingness. Willingness. Now, I want to say about this. This is, you would be surprised when I say this, it's going to surprise you. You'd say, there couldn't have been that many situations. But you, if you saw a need, and nobody else is filling that need, you were probably God's plan to fill that need. Here's a strange thing. Here, somebody like me, I am a socially illiterate person sometimes. One of my kids said to me yesterday, they were having a big conversation and they were talking about something really important. They said, "What do you think, Dad?" I said, "About what?" And they said, "How do you do that?" I mean, they can listen to three conversations at once. I mean, they're girls and they're talented and they can do that stuff. Me, I don't know half the things that are, you know, I don't know half the things that are, I'm my own little happy land. Okay, I like my land. My land's happy. I don't have temptation to gossip. I don't notice if Sally's not talking to Mary. I mean, I'm just in my happy little land. And so I don't notice if somebody maybe is sitting alone and nobody's talking to them. But you know what happens? Somebody will sit there in church and look over and say, "That person looks kind of sad. I wonder why pastor's not talking to them." If you notice that, you're probably the one who needs to go sit by him and talk to him. You just got to be available. Now, I might notice and I might go talk to him. I might have been talking to him all week long. And we don't know. But you know what? If you see a need, the Bible says, if you see a brother have a need of food and do not give him those necessary things, how dwells the love of God in you? I mean, here's a hungry Christian and here's you with money in your pocket. And then you get spiritual about it. "Oh God, what dost thou have me to feed this person? I prayed about it. I didn't hear anything." You seeing a hungry person and having the money to feed them got a calling. It's not that complicated. You just need to be available. You know how many opportunities there are to minister? You know what's fun sometimes? I was at a gas station, and I went inside for some reason. I was near the cash register, and the guy in front of me said, "I want $1.47 in gas," or something like that. How many ever been there? not $2, not $5. That means you were digging under the seats and throwing French fries out from a year ago and all those things. You were digging under the seat. And I went back in and I went to the store and I handed the lady and I said, "Give him $5 more. And I went with the guy and he was a 22-year-old guy, beat up junker car. And I walk up to him, I said, "Hey man," I said, "after you get done with the $1.47, put another $5 in." I said, "I'm a Christian." I gave him a track and I said, "You know what, I've been there before and I just wanted to, you know, $5 more will get you a lot farther." Did I receive a great calling to do that? No, I did not hear a voice from heaven. No airplane started doing, "Give him gas." It didn't happen like that. Just, you're there and the need is there. Let God use you. If you don't need a calling if someone says, "You know, I've been thinking about God and I don't know what's going to happen to me." You've been called to witness to them. "But I'm not good at witnessing." If you knew how bad I was at witnessing when I first started, you would have said, "You should not have been witnessing." I did not know what I was doing. It was. I've told you before, I used to sit at the park and I used to go pray in the park and up by my house. And weirdos came to that park at 1 a.m. I'm a night owl and here comes the weirdos of the park. And I always attract weirdos. Here's these weirdos and it's 1 a.m. We used to call them stoners. That's what we called them back in the '80s. And here would come the stoners up there at the park. "Hey man, what's going on?" I was a baby Christian. I had my Gideon's New Testament in this pocket and I'm ashamed to say it in this pocket. I have my wallet and my can of Copenhagen. And they said, "What are you doing?" Praying. "I don't know. You're a Christian." "Yeah, I became a Christian about 6 months ago. And you know what? I'm going to heaven now. Do you know if you die today, you go to heaven?" Well, one of two things happen. They get saved or they run for the hills. And you know what? I was not the best prepared. I didn't know 20 verses yet. I did not know how to witness anybody. But you know what? I always wanted to say, if God will use me. Listen, who else is going to witness the stoners at 1 a.m? And I'm not saying if you're a terrible example of a Christian, go proclaim it everywhere. There's times you need to be discreet until you grow, and I understand that. But I'm saying, listen, be available to God. You just got to be willing. You just got to say, I'm willing for God to use me. I might look a little funny. My ears might turn a little red. I might be a little embarrassed. I might stutter and stammer a little bit. But I'm here, God, if you need to use me. Them in the Bible, those people in the Bible we just talked about, they didn't think they were ready for it, but the Lord said that. Number two, two things you need. One is willingness, and secondly, you should prepare yourself, preparation. Let me take you to 1 Peter and chapter 3. I've always laughed when people said, man, maybe you're not the one for the ministry. I said, I agree, but God called me. And that's what I'll just let God, you know, until God figures out I got the wrong one, I'm going to enjoy it and let God use me. 1 Peter chapter 3. And the Bible says God hath chosen the foolish things that no flesh should glory in his sight. And God's used many people who surprise a lot of people. They're just willing. You should prepare yourself. Verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. So, several things there. It says you need to be ready always for in case somebody asks you about your faith. You're always ready. Now, first thing it says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. That means you're giving your heart to God. You're setting aside God as a king of your life, and you're becoming spiritual. In other words, God's blessing and power is upon you because you're growing spiritually. You need to be ready spiritually all the time. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. You're just ready always. 2 Corinthians and chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to a man hath, and not according to he hath not. And so we want to be willing, and then what you have is going to be good enough. You prepare yourself. You put God first. Then you study. 2 Timothy 2:12 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're working these Muslims right now and trying to win them to Christ and having a great time with trying to reach them. I want to say, as we are doing that right now, we're studying how to reach Muslims. Me and my kids and my family, we're all working on it. We're studying. We're trying to get to know. You memorize Bible. You prepare yourself for what people might ask and the questions they might ask. And if you don't know the answer, you say, you know, I don't know right now. Let me look that up. And you find out. You study and you learn so you're always ready. On the missions field, I told our people going to the Philippines this last time, I said, listen, you made any single point, have them ask you to come up and speak. I told the other people who could preach, I said, be ready at any service to preach. Because they will ask you. It's weird. They'll walk up and say, hey, brother so-and-so, come up and tell us how you got saved. And you have to be ready. You know what? I think that's really good for us. I don't mind that at all. Let's see, when I was in the Philippines last time, Brother Elmer, one of the Filipino pastors, he came and he said, let's go. We're going to go visit a family over here. And we were way out in the boonies. Ron was teaching underneath a mango tree, the kids, and he had to be ready, didn't he? And there he's teaching them, and so we went out to visit his family, and we went in the house, and we sat down, and it was two or three family groups in this home, and so we sat down, and all the family started coming in, putting chairs in, and da-da-da-da-da, all this stuff, and so I'm sitting there watching what he's going to do and waiting for what he's going to do, and then they all get sat down, and he talks to them in Tagalog for a while, and then finally looks at me and says, okay, go ahead. And I looked and said, I have a Bible with me. I said, okay. You mean like give a Bible study? He says, yeah, they're waiting for you. I said, okay. Like I was totally ready for it. And so I sat there. By the way, he emailed me, I don't know, 2 months ago, and said that family's come to his church now. They weren't coming before. But I gave him a lesson out of John 4 about the thirst in your soul for Jesus and stuff. Listen, it wouldn't be bad to be always ready. Anytime I go to a service, I went to a service Monday and Tuesday a week ago. I was at that service. I was ready to preach in that service if the pastor didn't show up, guest preacher didn't show up. Now, as a pastor, I do that. But you, as a Christian, maybe should be ready to witness at any time. I always have a Bible with me. You might have some verses memorized in case you don't have a Bible with you. You might be ready to give your testimony at any time. Be ready always. I think it's there's a willingness, there's a preparation where you're just ready for God to use you. It's not about your focusing on you and your abilities or worthiness. It's about studying and preparing yourself so God can use you if he says, next man up. You're the one up. And you're ready. And you're ready to do God's work. Way too many people are waiting for people who are qualified and have all the credentials where God could be using them ahead of time. Lord could be using you right now if you just say, I'm available. You would be shocked that God, how much God could use you. Number one, be available. Number two, be ready at any time. I'm going to read 2 Timothy 4:2. It says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heed themselves teachers having itching ears. He said, Timothy, be ready in season, out of season. Ready at any time. Just be ready. Just be ready to preach the word. It may not seem like the most appropriate time, may not fit in with what everybody's doing, but you know what? You be ready, instant, to say what God says. I don't know, we're all wired differently. There are some people who like pressure and they would rather just jump into it. Other people who like to psych themselves up for something and really prepare themselves. I want to say, with God's work, you need a person who's just ready. I mean, you should be right with the Lord all the time, not saying, oh, no, Lord, they're asking me about you. I need you to forgive me for this and this and this and this and this. No, you don't want to be doing that. Be right with the Lord all the time and be ready for God to use you. Instant in season, out of season. I'm going to read Romans chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16. Well-known verses. For as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He says, I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel. Be ready at any time. You would be amazed how much the Lord wants to do and what he will do with someone who's available. It'll shock you. The ones in open door who you think of leaders, who you think of doing a lot of great things, are members that are really God's using them. Did you know that you're just like everybody else, but they just said, I'm going to try to let God use me? So here's the thing. The Lord has a million needs. Actually, has 7 billion needs, are called people. And he needs to use somebody to reach them. And the truth is, there are people who've been trained. There's people with qualifications. There's people with eloquence, people with abilities. There are those people. But how often do those people get to your friends? How often does someone with a Bible college degree get to your friends? How often are they around when somebody's heart is broken, when somebody's life is ruined, when somebody's marriage is falling apart? I mean, sometimes you're there. Sometimes you're the one. See, it's not a degree and it's not eloquence. It's the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that does the great things, that changes life, that helps people. We have a food bank back here, but you know what? You could help somebody on Tuesday just as well and buy them food. You could take him some groceries. Somebody had surgery. You can take him a meal. So let's take care of your food for a few days. You can do that stuff. You'd be surprised if you would just let God use you. If you just say, Lord, if somebody needs, I've never been used by God, but I'd like to be. Let me assure you. If you say, Lord, I'm available, God says, oh, good, finally. Okay. And all of a sudden, things start coming at you. And can I tell you, you're not going to feel qualified for all of them. You're going to say, me? I can't. Oh, no. Why'd they ask me? Ask somebody else. But they're not going to ask somebody else. Why? Because you said, here am I, send me. And God said, all right, let's go. Got work for you. Something to do. I got lots for you. You'd say, I don't see that many things I could do. Just be available. And you will find, you know what you'll do? You'll have one of those blessed days where you put on a pair of pants and all of a sudden you reach out in your pocket and you found a 20 in there. that you forgot to take out. And you'll be so excited. You'll say, woo, a 20. And you know what's going to happen? Somebody at work is going to say, oh no, I forgot my wallet. I'm going to run out of gas. And you'll find out that God might have put that 20, not your wife forgot to search the pockets. And you'll say, oh no, if I get a 20, it's for me to go stop on the way home. I'm getting me a Starbucks. I'm getting this. You might not. You might find out God is blessing you. God put you in the position to help them. You'll say, that's not God. It's just the laundry. It might not be just the laundry. It might be that God, all of a sudden, opportunities sprout up. You know, the weirdest thing, here's what you'll start saying. Here's the people who are available start saying, I don't know why they come to me. That's what you start saying. You say, I got my own hang-ups and issues. I'm not talking about for money. If you're the one who, I'm talking, somebody come to you and say, man, me and my wife are breaking up and I don't know what to do. And you're going, my wife and I had it out last night. Why are you asking me? But you're improving in your marriage. You're sanctifying the Lord God in your heart. And you know what? God's going to give you some words. And also, he'll convict you at the same time and say, you'd be doing this too, buddy. It helps you grow. Why? Because you're available. You know what you'll find out? You read something in the Bible and go, that is awesome. I've never heard that before. I've never even seen that. And you know what your friend's going to ask you about tomorrow? That. Why? You're available. And God needed to get that truth of them. And all of a sudden, you open your Bible and say, you know what, I'll read here. Or your Bible reading plan, or you're at that point, and all of a sudden you read. And you start reading, and you read this verse, you're going, wow, that's amazing. And you learn so much, you say, wow, that is incredible. I've never seen that before. And God said, I'm giving you this. I'm giving you bread to give your friend at midnight. I'm giving you something to feed somebody else. I'm giving you this ability. It is an awesome life when God is flowing through you and using you. And the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And those who just said, I'm here, God, what do you want to do? And I'm available. I don't know if you can use me for anything. And all of a sudden, God starts using them. It changes us who are being used, and we start impacting people. And it is a great life. But it's only for people who will say, okay. It's not for self-conscious people who are going to say, not me, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough. I'm not perfect. I don't got it all together. Those people who are looking at themselves too much instead of the need. The fireman, he says, you know, I didn't tuck in this boot. They're screaming out the window, help out. I forgot. I grabbed Bob's hat, not mine. I'm going back to station. I don't look good. Quit looking at yourself. Run and save somebody. And that's how you get used. Let me give you some examples of people. It's amazing how much the Lord wants to do and what he will do with someone who's available. How about this? How about David's incredible planning and preparation to go kill Goliath? David went to bring cheese and bread to his brothers. And he said, somebody needs to kill that guy. You going to kill him? You going to kill him? You're not going to kill him? All right. Well, God must have me to kill him. And as a boy, a young man, he goes out, not the soldier, not the, doesn't have a shield, doesn't have a spear, doesn't have a sword, doesn't have armor, but he's the one who's available. He didn't go there to kill Goliath. And you didn't go to the grocery store to win that person to Christ. But God said, you're available? Okay, I'm sending him to you. You'd be amazed if you carry a track in your pocket. You'd be amazed how often that track gets given out. Just take a track with you. You should always keep a track with you. Somebody, you have an opportunity to give it out many times. And as a matter of fact, I had a track in my pocket, and it was so wrinkled out, I got so frustrated. I said, I'm giving this track to somebody. It's been in my pocket too long. And I gave it to a guy. I was at the post office the other day. Just said, hey, you know what? I've had this track too long. I walked up to a guy and handed it to him. And interesting, as I was driving away, he was reading the track. It was the right time for that guy. Just be available. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 3. We got 10,000 tracks, probably got about 9,500 now. We just got a new batch in. We got plenty if you want them. You can take 100. You can take as many as you want. and give them to somebody. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, it's the hour of prayer. They're walking into a temple, and as they walk by in the temple in Acts chapter 3, there's a man who's been lame his whole life, and they're about to walk in. In verse 3, it says in Peter, this is Acts 3, 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked him alms. And Peter fastened his eyes on him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something to them. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but you won't need to be a beggar anymore anyway. Such as I have, I give unto thee." In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he got healed. And revival broke out in town. But they were just going to the temple to pray. But a healing happened and a miracle and revival. Philip is walking and having revival in town, and the Holy Spirit, an angel says to him, "Go out in the desert." He says, "Okay, I'm available." And he runs out in the desert in the middle of nowhere. And here comes a guy in a chariot. And the Holy Spirit says, "Go join yourself to the chariot." He goes up the chariot, and there's a man reading the scripture and about Jesus dying on the cross. And he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "How can I accept some man guide me?" And he wins him to Christ right there and baptizes him. Why? Because he's available. And God set up a divine appointment for someone who's available. Paul and Silas were in jail, could have been griping about being beaten without being tried, could have been griping about having done nothing but talk about Jesus. They're in jail and they're singing praise to God at midnight. An earthquake comes, the shackles fall off their hands, and the jailer runs in about to kill himself. And they said, "Don't do yourself harm, we're still here." And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he wins him to Christ. Why? He was in jail. He wasn't planning on having a revival. He was just praising God in jail. And there came the jailer. And all of a sudden, there he went. And he went into, the man took him to his house. He won the man's family to Christ. Why? They're available. They're available. The apostles were fishing one day, and there was Jesus. And he said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And it says they left their nets and their boats. They left everything, left their entire careers on the spot. Why? They're available. And we still talk about Peter and James and John and all these apostles and people who did great things. They wrote scripture. They won millions of souls. Their names are written in the foundation of heaven. Why? They're available. What if one of those guys would have said, "I ain't leaving my boat. I ain't leaving my nets. I got to go fishing." And not been available. They wouldn't have been one of the apostles. They would have missed out. Ron Hamilton was a man who was a young man. I think he was maybe as 20, 21, if I'm not mistaken. He was very young, and he started getting pain in his eye and getting blurry vision, and it wasn't long before they had to go to the doctor. It was so bad, and they found out he had some kind of severe cancer in his eye, and they were going to have to remove his eye. And Ron Hamilton went in as a young man for surgery and had his eye taken out. He was serving the Lord, a good man, loved the Lord. Well, he turned that and said, "Lord," he said, I was frustrated and angry for a while. But now you know that man, if you know who he is, his name's Patch the Pirate. And he has an amazing, every parent should have Patch the Pirate CDs for their kids. He turned it into an entire ministry. There's Patch the Pirate clubs all over the world. And he became a pirate with a patch and started preaching the gospel and entertaining kids with great lessons and Bible lessons and speaking around the world. And why? He was available. And God said, "I need one eye in order to use you." And he said, "I'm available, whatever you want to do." And God used him. See, God needs workers and God can do amazing things. And you know what? He says himself, "That was a blessing that I lost that eye." See, when you're available to God, God can do great things to any one of us. It's just a matter of whether we're saying, "I'm here, Lord, if you need to use me." And you got to say also, "Lord, give me what I need to do this." And you'll find yourself praying a whole bunch because God will put you way over your head. I'm so used to being over my head now, I just live with a snorkel. I mean, that's just my life. I mean, I'm always over my head. It is the point now, it doesn't matter if I preach in front of 1,000 people when I do that, or if I'm preaching in front of 10 people, or if somebody walks up and asks me for advice, I'm saying, "Lord, I need you." Because God, I've just said, "This is crazy, Lord. I can't believe you can use me. If you want to use me, go ahead. But you're going to have to give me the strength." And the Lord always seems, if he's going to give me something to do, he's going to give me the ability to do it. I don't send my kids to the store and say, "Go buy this and this and this and this," and then not give them money to do it. Wish I could. But God never calls you to do something and doesn't give you the ability to do it. Whom God calls, God equips. You just got to be available and then start working on yourself, preparing yourself, studying and working. And you know what? You can be used by God. But it comes with, if you want to be in the ministry, you got to be available. Well, I will if God gives me the perfect opportunity. Those don't come along very often. I like when they do. But you know what? It's just a matter. Most Christians who are used are just gritty, available, find a way to get it done, beg God, find a way to help people, Christians. Matter of fact, you'll find out that you'll be struggling yourself. You'll be struggling financially and helping other people. Because you're available. Because the rich person didn't say, I'm available. Because God can't use them. So you give them half your candy bar. That's what you can do. And God blesses that candy bar. And he uses you. Because you're available. So if you want to be in the ministry, you just got to be available for the Lord and let him use you. So many stories in the Bible, so many examples in history, so many examples in life, so many things we could tell about people God used. It's used, everybody God used usually says, I cannot believe that I did this. I can't believe that God used me. But they're just saying, okay, Lord. But the people who look at themselves, the people who do not say, I'm here, here am I, Lord, send me. They just live their life. And wonder why so many people are hurting and suffering and why the world's so messed up. You know what's sad? I believe there's churches, even, all over the world, who even the church isn't available. There's Christians all over. There's enough Christians to reach the world and help people. And those ones who are available, and I've seen them and I've met the ones who are available, all the Christians and churches that I know who are saying, Lord, I'm here, whatever you want to do, they are busy as everything. They can't get to all the things they have to do that are good. They aren't laying around saying, what do I do today? God's got lots for you to do if you're available. He's got lots of things to do. It's great. It's a great life. Available for ministry. Then said I, then said the Lord, who shall we send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me. That's the attitude to have right there. Amen? Now you say, I don't know if I want to say that. God might call me to Africa. And a long time ago, I said, Lord, I'm willing to go. Do you want me to go to Africa? You want me to go wherever? I love going to third world. I don't want to live there. I'll go there multiple times. I don't like humidity, first of all. That disqualifies half of the world I go to. And I don't like it. I like indoor plumbing. That's a nice thing. Indoor plumbing is wonderful. Matter of fact, you will never know how wonderful it is till you go where they don't have it. I'm not talking about our houses. I'm not talking about honey buckets here. I'm talking about worse. You know, but if God wants me to, I'm willing. I'm willing to live in humidity. Just give me 10 air conditioners and some servants to fan me all day. But I know I'm willing. I'm willing to go. I think you just ought to say, Lord, it's your life, whatever you want to do. And God might not call you to any, didn't call me, called me to Seattle of all places. Yuppieville. And our only discomfort is, you know, too much creamer in our coffee and, you know, whatever we go through, our suffering. But, you know, God's good and he has a plan for you. He has a place for you. He has people to help. You just have to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the chance to teach your word. What a wonderful truth this is, how it's just woven throughout the Bible. Thank you for it. Thank you for using us, Lord. Thank you for using and condescending the men of low estate. I pray that we would be people who are available. Lord, I pray that you people would open our eyes, as you said, lift up your eyes and see the harvest. Maybe some people today realize, Father, that you had some jobs for them to do and they were just thinking somebody else needed to do it. I pray today, Lord, that you'd help us to have the right attitude about being willing and available. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts and give us this kind of heart, this kind of attitude, and use us, Lord. Now, we don't all have all the abilities. Some of us don't have the resources and we can't help that particular person, but we can find somebody who can. May we just be willing and open to you using us. Help us, Lord. to be willing like Isaiah. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I just want to ask with a raising of hand, who would say, you know what, I think maybe God could have used me before, but I might not have been looking.